Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. Yeah. We're keeping them all in there.
Yeah.
Welcome, welcome. It is the season of Lent.
Yeah.
Fat Tuesday. We hope you indulged.
Yeah. H pancakes, et cetera, et cetera.
Fat and happy and well alcoholed. Yeah. If that's your jam.
Yeah.
A few things you should know for all the seasons, especially Lent.
Yeah.
When things go on quite a while.
Yeah.
Number one, we're Catholic. You don't have to be. True. Lots of people celebrate Lent.
We're not going to fast from our Catholicism.
Not a lot of Catholics celebrate church drunk.
Yeah. No.
But no. You've been warned that that's who we are. We sometimes, in our frustrations or our wonderings that God understands, we might come up to the lines of heresy and blasphemy.
Yeah, we're probably not going to fast from that either.
Nope. Yeah. Some things you can't fast from. More on that later. So, and we sometimes use grown-up language.
Maybe we should fast from potty mouth.
I mean, you are supposed to, like, give something up and take something on. Yeah. Like, shall we take on, like, pure and charitable language? These are real challenges.
I don't know.
Things just got real rough. Where's my drink? Right. Wait a second. Before we get to that, let us have the last bit of indulgence here. I'm Dizzy. This is Guess.
Hello.
We are drinking.
Yes.
And what are we drinking? Tell us.
So I have decided to embrace March.
Okay.
Every year,
March Madness, the end
when
of March.
March rolls around, I get really excited. Actually, it's late February. I start to get ramped up for St. Paddy's Day. So
everybody has different seasons. Guess has the St. Paddy's Day preview.
Exactly. Yeah.
Season.
Basically, once Christmas comes and goes, I'm like, "Is it St. Paddy's Day yet?" So I'm drinking a little Irish whiskey.
Okay.
It's called
doesn't look like Irish whiskey.
Proper 12.
Okay.
And it's actually Conor McGregor's Irish whiskey, which I did not know when I purchased it. So like I'm supporting punching with this
like,
whiskey.
What are you
which,
supporting?
Which, I mean, I guess in a way you are always supporting punching when you drink Irish whiskey, but
happy Lent!
So I started with an Irish whiskey base, and then because of Lent, I added in a little bit of kind of color thematic goodness, which, if you read the label, is called Domache Borovnička Zemirom, which is basically what I would imagine translates to blueberry wine, because it's got pictures of blueberries on the front. There's not a lick of English on it, although it does say alcohol, spelled with a K.
Alcohol.
30%.
Nice.
So
this is the most church drunkiest.
So not just wine. This is like blueberry hooch.
It's liqueur. I mean, it's got delightful pictures of blueberries everywhere. Even the cap has like a little festive blueberry sticker.
Oh, yeah. No, there's blueberries on top. And it's actually quite tasty. I'm going to claim it as Croatia, even though I think it's maybe Slovenian.
Okay.
It was a gift from some folks that had traveled to the Balkans, brought it back to me.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's quite tasty. So it's Irish whiskey with blueberry liqueur for the purpleness. And it's pretty damn good.
Hey.
So, and you have a little what now?
Yeah, I picked a different base.
Yeah.
I went with the Bubbles, a nice brute. Just because celebration is still part of our seasons, even in the penitential season.
Yeah.
And also to add the lovely lavender color of Lent, I went with your blueberry hooch.
Blueberry hooch. Oh, and actually, speaking of lavender, I got a little lavender bitters in the Irish whiskey and blueberry hooch just to kind of keep purpling it.
You know, it is a season to be celebrated, enjoyed, previewed. So
nothing,
lavender everything.
Nothing says Lent like Domache Borovnička Zemirom.
We hope you pour a glass of something purple or something strong to smack you in the Lenten face as well. So we're here in Lent. This is our third Lent Church Drunk.
Yeah.
This is a long season of Lent, though, for us as like friends. Sorry, guys. We still have Church Drunk dogs in attendance. They've been making an appearance.
Yeah.
But we've been doing Lent a long time because this is kind of the season where we, like, need to spiritually process things.
Yeah, and kind of the origins of Church Drunk, even if you go back to before we were podcasting it and things like that, like, started out with Advent and started out with Lent and started out with these couple of seasons every year that we sort of need to step back from everyday life and just do what kind of brings us back to center.
Yeah,
and Lent is one of those seasons that reminds us of that.
It's one of those times where, like, the church year does sort of dovetail with, like, the secular year. We're like, yeah. It's not New Year's. There's no holidays besides St. Patrick's Day that are real close. Nobody celebrates Easter like the other holidays. Right. So,
and if you're a student or you work at a school, exactly. It's just like the freaking dog days. Yeah,
this is
of
the
spring,
quarters
basically.
Or the semesters where brutal. People are just done.
Yeah. And so, you know, like, but Lent does, I mean, at least I want to say that one of the things that Lent has done for me is that it does kind of perk me up a little bit in terms of, like, it calls me to attention, right? Like, yeah. During those times where it's like, ugh, you know, it seems like winter's never going to end, mm-hmm. you know, like, the rains just kind of keep continuing, but Lent rolls around and Ash Wednesday's there, and then it's like, something is different, right? Like, and this is a time of year where you can kind of get stuck in a rut. But Lent is the rut that is meant to call you yes. back to your best self.
Yeah.
So even though it's a slog, and even though it's brutal, even though we talk about how long it is, and mm-hmm. even though it's this like penitential time where you wear sackcloth and you put literal ashes on your face, and, like, at the same time, like, it's meant to break up some of the monotony of what would otherwise be ordinary time
yeah.
and would just kind of get us back to our best selves.
I do feel like for as much of a struggle as Lent can be and the time of year it falls, it is also the most rewarding of seasons. Like, yeah. you can get bang for your buck spiritually out of Lent.
For sure.
Yeah. Because there is no Christmas at the end to, like, distract you. Like, I mean, there's Easter, like, it's not the same thing.
It's not, yeah.
Like, it's much more of a spiritual
Easter
reward.
Easter season is not nearly as, like, commercialized as Christmas season is. And so, whereas all of Advent is this, like, large, tinsely buildup.
Yes.
Lent is in the desert for 40 days.
It's like Advent, you're really trying to be good, but you're like, Christmas is coming.
I know, right? Yeah, you've already started making all your Christmas cookies.
Lent, you're like, focus, and it's going to be great at the end, but there's more suffering right at the end. Like, it's that last big, hard,
right. And that's the other thing about Lent, is that it's not
stuff at the
it's
end.
Not a build-up to, you know, little baby Jesus in the manger. Like, it's a build-up to Jesus dying.
Yeah.
And then having that, like, transformative sort of 3 days of Triduum and all that.
Yeah.
So it's like you're really getting ready for this, like, very significant, sad.
It's training
tragic.
For the marathon, right? Like, the Lenten season's training for the Triduum marathon. That's
so,
how I think of it this year.
Yeah. So it's, you know, like, it's a challenging season, but it's one of our favorites. It's when we started doing our Church Drunk podcast.
Yes. Cheers to Church Drunk.
Our Lenten sort of time of year. So, you know, like, here we are, ready to start out a new season.
So Lent has a long history of being celebrated. If you listened to our little preview, we kind of mentioned that, like, as early as, like, the 200s, 300s, the church was celebrating 40-something for Lent.
And it is one of those, like, much like Christmas, where, you know, like, there was a winter solstice celebration that we probably stole from the pagans and then just, you know, Christianized. The celebration of the Lent and therefore Fat Tuesday and all that kind of stuff, probably stolen from some of the pagan springtime celebrations and things like that.
I do want to say something about that, at least for the earliest centuries. Like, it wasn't even always just stealing from. Yeah. Those people were converts.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were forced, but a lot of them weren't.
Right.
And, like, I think, especially in those early years, like, and I'm not talking about, like, modern day, like, you know, missionary takeovers and cultural appropriation, but, like, if you were an early convert, you probably wanted to keep celebrating at
the
same times of years.
Yeah.
Like, you wanted
some of
this.
Like, if somebody were to come along now and say, well, you know, like, there is this new hot religion in town, and you're not allowed to celebrate Christmas anymore. If you do that, it would be less of a draw than if it's like, well, you can still celebrate Christmas, but it's just a little bit different, you know? And so, like, you start to kind of change
it helps
and
keep their cultural stuff.
Yeah.
It's complicated, you know?
But what is it? Saturnitum or whatever it is.
Saturnalia.
That was meant to be celebrating the pagan traditions of springtime, and then you end up with Fat Tuesday,
and the king.
You end up with Lent as the period following that, and then
which we base around an equinox,
right?
Like Easter,
and there is something that's kind of interesting about that, and we talked about it last episode, where it's like the celebration of Easter being the first Sunday after the first full moon of the spring equinox. I do kind of like that it's rooted in the real world.
Nature. I don't mind having
that
all parallel each other.
You can look at the moon, and if you look closely enough and track it closely enough, you'll know what's going on in the church. Like, hey, that's kind of like a connected. Nice thing to know that it's rooted in the real world.
Yeah, I like it. So we have these practices, right? Prayer, obviously, and fasting. Those are the oldest ones. Like, that's what people have been doing as Christians for a long time. And fasting is something that people do anyway. So we've talked about fasting before. So prayer, fasting, and then giving.
Giving, right? Prayer, fast, give. Yeah, those are kind of the big three of Lent time.
Yes.
And the giving part is, I think, the slowest to catch on because it is relatively new in terms of, like, the thought about it. And I like the idea behind it that, you know, like, yes, you pray and, yes, you fast, but also you do something, right? Like, do something too.
Yes.
But at the same time, whether it's because it's kind of the new kid on the block, so to speak, of the Lenten traditions or whether it's because the one that actually involves, like you can fast, right? You can say, like, I'm not going to eat meat on Fridays, but you don't really lose that much in the long run. But when you give away some of your stuff, like, it's not coming back to you, right?
Well, right, and then, like, some people say, well, it came because you're not buying that meat. Like, that's the money you give.
Exactly.
And meat wasn't always cheap. You know, meat was a...
But I do feel like the almsgiving part and the giving part or the volunteering part that a lot of times is the hardest one to sort of motivate yourself for. I think a lot of people think of Lent and they say, well, what am I giving up for Lent? And they are, you know, willing to embrace that. And you kind of hear it every year, you know, especially if, like us, you work with, you know, youth groups and young people. And it's like, I'm giving up bread this year because, like, carbs are so bad for you, you know. And it's like, well, that's not really what fasting's all about. You know, like, you're supposed to be thinking about what can you give up in order to open up more space for something else. So what are you going to fill that space with, you know, is always the big question. So... there's lots of different ways to approach Lent, and there's no right or wrong way.
No, but we try to do something or add some kind of spiritual practice. That's been our record, whether we're sending each other, you know, inspirational things and prayers, kind of keeping it on track, or we're adding in a practice, and then we give things up too. I think this is something we both have become excited and dreading about, because it's fun to take something away from... your prayer.
Yeah. So you want to talk first about, like, what we're going to give up and then maybe a little bit about what we want to layer in?
Yeah, we might feel a little more sincere about where we can go with our spiritual solace when we know how we'll be suffering alongside
the
risen.
So for those of you that are new to Church Drunk, going back to our very first few episodes, we decided, inspired by... Father James Martin, who is one of our spiritual inspirations, I think, in a way.
Yeah.
And he has had a couple interviews on record where he talks about the fact that he's got some friends that are not Catholic, and they think it's kind of funny that, like, you get to pick what you fast from during Lent.
Yeah.
And so he actually has it assigned to him what he has to give up. By a friend who I believe he said was a Jewish friend, or maybe a rabbi.
Maybe.
And he has to give up, like, a foodstuff and a spice and a candy.
They're very
specific
about, like, the categories.
But in any event, Dizzy and I decided that we would kind of take that and assign each other something to give up. So we no longer get to pick what we give up. We have to go with what the other one says. But, caveat, we have... come up with the tradition of a no-fly list.
Yeah,
as well.
There
are
some
certain
saves.
Things that we simply can't function without.
Yeah.
And it would be cruel to take them away from each other. So, do you want to go first with your no-fly list?
Yeah, we didn't even tell each other. Sometimes we do know what we can, what's already off the table, but this time we felt like we just
came up with some things to take away and some backup things in case what I wanted to take away was on the restricted list.
Right.
So
my no-fly list, my safe zone. My favorite snack... of the times. We should say booze is not available because
obviously
we can't be church drunk without booze. We need booze. Yeah. And even church drunk dog says, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Keep booze.
Yeah. Who doesn't drink?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously booze is already there. And then my favorite snack right now would be the popcorn in all its iterations. I don't want to be without a popcorn snack.
Understandable.
During Lent.
All right.
I also thought about this when we were talking about some of the origins of Lent, and I'm not yet ready to be without dairy products. I would like to have cheese and milk and those kind of things. I can see some disappointment on your face, and I'm really excited, and ice cream and frozen yogurt. So I'm not giving up dairy products this Lent. Sorry. Right. That was my broad one. Those were my two big ones, and then I was like, well, I also really, I'm just going to leave it there. I'll leave it there.
I can't believe that 2 years in a row now, I was so prepared to take cheese away from you, and then you dropped dairy on me on the no-fly list. Last year, it was the fizzy water. Yes. I was ready to take away your bubbles, and you said, I think maybe this year I should.
It was like a late ad, too.
The fizzy water, and then I was like, damn it.
Okay, so, and the whole year, though, you've been enjoying reminding me of, like, yeah. how you might take fizzy water away from yeah. me. And so I didn't even put it on the list. You know what? I thought if he does it, it will be my Lenten sacrifice.
But after a whole year of, like, holding it over your head, I feel like it would be really unoriginal to actually take
it away from me. Thought it might have been a bluff. Because yeah. you said it kind of recently. I'm like, there's no way he's going to take that away. He wouldn't warn me.
I don't know.
So, okay, I'm sorry, dude.
Who's to say I can't come up with, I can't change, now I obviously have to change
my plans.
You can
do whatever you want, but I'm keeping cheese.
All I'm saying is cheese was number one on the list.
Nobody should be so happy at the beginning of Lent, but I'm pretty stoked.
All right, fair enough. So you want me to tell you what you have, or you want me to tell you what mine
is? I just want everyone to understand, firstly, what you have taken away from me in the past. Yeah. Like, one year he took away avocado. And then he took away shrimp. And this is during a time when I ate, like, no meat or mammals. Yeah. And so it was, like, two major protein sources.
Taking away shrimp. Or taking away, was it just shrimp or was it all shellfish?
I think it was shellfish.
Effectively shrimp. True. Like, during Lent. That was kind of a low blow.
During Lent when nobody could eat. All right. And avocado, you know, that hurt. Mm-hmm. But that was a good one. Okay. And I took away from you...
Year one was citrus.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Which was rough.
That was a rough one.
That was rough. You have a way of picking things that make me not even realize until later. Like, you'll tell me where it is, and I'll be like, oh, that's no big deal. And then all of a sudden, like, a little time bomb goes off in my head, and I'm like, oh my god, that means I can't have, like, insert. So year one was citrus, and it was like, okay, I guess I'll just have my gin and tonic with, like, no lime or lemon or, like, right? And then last year was potatoes, which is great because fish is that classic British tradition.
St. Patrick's Day would not be as good for you.
All of my chips on the side when I have my fish and chips for Lent.
I had the support of Mrs. Guest through both of those where she was like, I'll eat all the french fries. Go ahead. And I was like, cool.
Well, and last Lent she was pregnant, so she was like, give me all your french fries.
Go ahead. Order that. No, don't get the salad. I want those fries.
Totally. All right. We've got dizzy dogs going nuts back there.
Oh my gosh. There's
so, let's see. Okay. So,
how about you? What's your no-fly list?
My no-fly list. Actually, I think there's two things that have been on my no-fly list every year, and it's a really unoriginal no-fly list, but I really would have issues without these things. The first is granola bars, because granola bars are my breakfast and lunch pretty much every day. Yeah. One for breakfast, one for lunch. Sometimes I just have two as my brunch.
It's like your work diet.
Yeah. Like, it's coffee just, and like, granola bars. I grab two on my way out the door to work every day. And then hot sauce, because sauce would be, were you thinking something hot saucy?
Go ahead, finish your bliss, I'll tell you.
Okay. So, granola bars and hot sauce are my two classics. And then this year, I'm adding on, because technically we're allowed three. You only took two.
I only took two. One was very broad.
But we're allowed three. Yeah, one was broad. Yeah. Dairy is a broad one. Bread. Because, as we know, I'm working my way through Brother Rick's cookbook, and I did think about this. I was like, damn, it would be just like Dizzy to be like, I'm going to take bread away, and you're going to have to keep baking bread in order to fulfill your New Year's resolution. But not be allowed to eat it. Like, Mrs. Guest gets all the bread.
You're right. That is exactly what I would think to do. But I also know you well enough where I'm like, listen, if he doesn't put bread on his protected list, then he's a fool, right? A fool. But I actually was even considering, like, flour just to, like, really torture you. But I knew that was, like, super mean. And so I wasn't really going to go there. But, like, I expected you. I hoped that you would show that you are still, like, a living, smart person.
I'm there.
And protect yourself. And, you know, I always consider our peppers from you because I feel like you should have a bland Lent.
Yeah.
But you always put it on your list. So.
Well, so, I mean, peppers could go on the list, but hot sauce would be the only exception, right?
Right.
So get rid of bell peppers, get rid of anything that has
it's really, I just want you to eat bland food, so that's not going to work. So that you didn't get my number one, though, so I can look at the, I wish you could see the fear in his eyes.
I'm so tired of you picking my number one.
This might not be so bad. This might not be so bad. This might be so bad.
All right,
do you want to know what it is?
Yeah, tell me what I got.
Yeah, since you... So when I realized that really flour or bread was so mean, I couldn't do that. I kind of was thinking of like adjacent items.
Yeah.
And I'm taking away tree nuts, other nuts, anything that's labeled nuts. You shall have
My snack mix is gone.
You shall not have a mix whilst on your trail. You shall not have a cacahuate mixed with sugar on your bread. You won't, if you make a bread from Brother Rick and should it include walnuts, you shall not partake of it.
Wow. Okay.
I'm sorry.
That sucks a lot, actually.
You could have put that on your list.
Okay. I'm keeping granola bars that have nuts in them, though, because it's
that's true. No, that's your exception. Peanuts, and I thought, I think it's still okay, it's though, because, you know.
Although I will try to have more of the fig bars from Costco.
You get your free
than
item.
The sweet and salty nut bars that I love so much.
Do you like the ones? There's one that's just called like nut bars. But like, you know, you should enjoy those. Yeah. They were on your list. You go ahead and have them.
But I really do love.
I'll support you.
The trail mix. I'll eat an excessive amount of that sometimes.
Yeah.
Shit.
There's fruit kind of, I think.
Fair enough.
Sure. Well, go ahead. Hit me back.
Well.
I know you had more than one thing. You can cry about cheese, but I know you had a list. It wasn't just a cheese list.
No. It was cheese, and it came down to two.
Let me hold my drink.
And one was cheese, and the other one is what I will drop on you now, which is tomatoes and tomato products. So.
Wow.
No salsa, no pasta sauce, no tomato or tomato-based products. Pizza.
Oh my
better
God.
Get used to the white sauce on that shit.
Fuck that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, get that garlic chicken pizza with your white sauce. Mm. Yeah.
I like how you went through this whole speech about how I'm so great about taking things away that don't hurt till you realize everything they're on. And that is literally what this is.
Basically, this competition was, in my mind, was between cheese and salsa. Because I'm like, if I take away one of those two, it will be a significant blow.
It would. And especially during Lent when, like, a nice vegetarian pizza is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No tomatoes for you.
Cool. Also, no Bloody Marys
Bloody Marys this Lent. Sundays are exceptions. You have a Bloody Sunday.
I'm so Bloody Mary day drunk on Sundays. Oh my gosh. Okay, right. Well.
There we go. Now we hate each other. I feel like this is actually this episode.
This is the same thing. We're like, cheers, asshole, to each other every year.
Every year.
Maybe we should have done this at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So, to help us in our sadness and deprivation, a nicer tradition we have.
I'm going to eat so many nuts. Before the official start of Ash Wednesday.
Can this be the title of the episode? So many nuts. Bloody nuts.
Bloody nuts.
Ew.
Man.
I mean, yes, I think homemade pasta every night is what's happening.
Yeah.
For like.
Yeah, so full disclosure, we're recording this a couple days before the start of Ash Wednesday. And now we both get to just like go completely
out
of control. You're just gonna find Dizzy eating tomatoes like apples for the next 2 days.
Cranking open a can of those San Marzanos. Yeah.
Which we've never actually done that before. We've always recorded it on Ash Wednesday.
I know.
And then,
this is what we get for playing ahead.
Damn.
We're like rooting our process. Sorry, guys. Like pretend it's Ash Wednesday. Whatever.
No,
anyway.
I can't because I have to talk about how many
we're
nuts
really
I'm gonna
sad.
Eat.
Guess is gonna be like shoveling peanut butter with a spoon.
Nut gobbler.
You're gonna make
peanut butter. Oh god damn it!
Don't catch that peanut butter. So much better right now.
Bitch.
You have Sundays. You can totally have it on Sundays.
I'll be fine. Yep.
Oh, he's sad.
So I don't even eat that much peanut butter, but you know who does? Mrs. Guest.
Mm-hmm.
She eats that shit all the time. And I'm just going to be like watching and be like, is that good? Is that really good?
Once again, ran this past your wife. She was in full support.
Oh, I'm sure she was. Yeah.
Teamwork. Okay, so.
We're going to save like $50 on trail mix over the course of Lent.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Bouncing back.
Are you done?
From this
is there anything else you
want to
like
I don't know
cry
if I'm
about?
Finished with a tantrum,
I don't get
but...
to eat fucking pizza nor pasta.
I know.
White sauce is useless.
White sauce.
I can't eat that.
You could have Alfredo.
Yeah, I could.
You could. So
at least I can have shellfish this year. I'll have clams and linguine.
There you go. Perfect pasta. So getting back to
Lent and spirituality and trying to be better people.
That we're trying to do. So that's what we're giving up, and we'll have to think about what do we want to kind of fill in with that. And another goal that I personally, things that I want to kind of like check off the list for Lent. I think for me this year, and maybe we've talked about this before, but like I'd like to fast from the 24-hour news cycle.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I need to not be checking, like, CNN every minute of every day to be like, what did Trump
do
now?
You should not be doing
what
that.
What did Trump do now?
No.
What did Trump
Stop.
Do now?
Don't
what
do
did
that.
Trump do now?
Yeah.
Because it's always disappointing.
Okay.
It never makes me feel good. But now I need to think about, so if I do that, right, and I kind of give that up, what would I like to sub in for that?
Okay.
And so I think, you know, there's
some
probably,
healthy consumption.
There's probably a little bit of professional development that I could do where I'm like, if I'm not checking CNN every couple minutes, what could I do to, like, further my, you know, like, personal goals for things along those lines? But that's not really the spirit of Lent. So
no.
I want to find some sort of spiritual practice or something where I can say every time that I'm tempted to check that, like, website to find out what batshit crazy thing is going on in D.C. right now, I'm going to stop and I'm going to, like, say a prayer, or I'm going to take 10 minutes to do something different, or, you know, like, do, you know, write something for the blog, or, like, whatever it is that I'm, like, I kind of want to have a practice that surrounds it, take a moment to kind of recenter myself in some way, shape, or form. So
that's good.
That's my, like, I'd like to
and
fast from that, but I need to figure out what
the
I want to,
cycle is,
what I want to shift it towards.
That's like crazy, Lyndon.
It's not good. It's not good. It's not good.
You've been doing Lent too long if you're still watching the news cycle.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, I didn't think about, like, that it was unhealthy for me, but I'm pretty well addicted to, like, listening to things. Like, I listen to podcasts or audiobooks pretty much all the time. Like, Mr. Dizzy and I have, like, different work schedules. So, like, I do have, like, lots of chunks of time where I'm the only one awake or at home. And, like, my friends are audiobooks and podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
And they may be distracting me from being more fully present and, like, what's around me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think in a terribly, like, detrimental way, but, like, it's a – I'm using a lot of hours.
It's just a little escapism.
Yeah, and
what's the one that you and Mrs. Guest have been into lately? The binge mode or whatever?
Binge mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you like Harry Potter or Game of Thrones, you should check out binge mode. It's a good long listen. So, yeah. So those kind of things. I was like, you know, I don't think it's bad. Like, I don't really want to cut them out completely.
Right.
But a lot of times when I'm listening to them, it's when I'm walking or I'm exercising. And so I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do those during that time.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my prayers during that time. Because I had an earlier goal around New Year's or our Christmas goals or whatever we called those, about doing more of the devotional prayers. I was trying to do the rosary, and I always make the joke about falling asleep to it, but, like, that's actually not the best spiritual practice.
Yeah.
So I'm actually trying to add that in. I want to be doing, like, when I'm walking or when I'm exercising, like, you're on the machine, like, to do one of those things instead of the checkout. Escapist.
Audiobook, binge mode, whatever
exactly.
it is. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
That was what I was going to do.
Sounds good.
And then
we, last year, we read a little bit of Henry Nouwen, and we kind of podcasted about that from time to time.
The Way of the Heart.
Way of the Heart, and we talked
Desert
about the Desert Fathers. And that
I loved that. Like,
was
that was
Lent-y.
Really good. Like,
yeah.
if you want less of what we're doing right now and something better, like, I would go check out those ones.
Yeah.
Or go read Nouwen.
Go read Nouwen. Yeah, go
read
a little Henry Nouwen, the best, when it comes to just, like, a simple version of complex spirituality, like something that's very deep but also achievable, you
and
know?
It's
like
so
you can
personal
work
like that was the thing that really got me. I had never read a ton of Nouwen, and some of it that I've read was kind of intimidating, but this particular book, The Way of the Heart, it is like he knows what your workaround's gonna be, and the next paragraph he's like, and about that you're like, oh, he knows. It's a really good, challenging but gentle and personal spiritual book, so highly recommend. Last season, Church Drunk,
there you go. Check it out. If you didn't read it, but you listened to the podcast, maybe make that your book for this year.
We're bookish people. You could listen. You could do that book, listen to it, or read it. And then for us this year.
Did it last year, and you want to do it again with us this year. Our new book is by Sister Joan Chittister.
Yes.
And she wrote a book that we thought was especially Lenty called Between the Dark and the Daylight, Embracing the Contradictions of Life.
Yeah.
So.
And we picked her and yeah. this book, because something we also like to think about is like, well, what should the church be giving up for Lent? Like the yeah. person of the church. And we're like, you know, because we were talking about Lewis and Guess has been reading a lot of Deschardins and right. like all these dudes, though, like we're trying to get away from some clericalism. And you know who's yeah. great for that? Fucking nun. Who's been it for like Sister Joan Chittister is not like young anymore. Like she's been a nun a long time. Like she's seen some shit and she's written a lot. And I had heard of her and read like just one book before.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, what about her? Let's see what she's got.
So Between the Darkness and the Daylight, mm-hmm. obviously a really great sort of thematic starting for a Lenten journey.
Yes.
So
we do like imagery.
Lent being that time to kind of connect with the darkness again. Mm-hmm. And it works for Lent. It works for Advent, you know, and Advent is all about that sort of hopefulness. But Lent is really about like the darkness that leads to the darkness that yes. leads to the daylight. Right.
There's so, no like, better thing for Easter than the yeah. sunlight shining through the new dawn.
Exactly. So kind of picking someone who is a heroine of mm-hmm. modern day church and that can hopefully guide us through that process. So we're going to get that book. We're going to read it. Neither of us have read it.
No, last year, which is kind of different.
I had read the Nouwen book. You had not. Yeah. And so you read it, and then we talked about it during Lent. So yeah. we're both going to read it. You guys are welcome to read along with us mm-hmm, and kind of figure out what sort of insights and little spiritual nuggets are in there for us.
And it's like, you said 140 pages. Yeah, it's like 140 pages. Yeah, yeah, that's a good totally size doable. Read for Lent.
Yeah.
In past years, just overthrowing out Lent books, we also did, we new to both of us, was Mercy in the City by yeah. Carrie Weber, which is right. actually like a really fun
yeah.
Lenten read, if that makes sense. All about the corporal works of mercy in a modern yeah. life. So there's some Lent book recommendations.
Yeah. And if you're more into sort of a fictional Lent, which we are
why not?
Both prone to a bit of escapism from time to time, but we like escapism with a sort of a yeah. theme or something spiritual to chew on, we will upload yet another Lent reading list, which mm-hmm. we tend to do every yep. year. So there will be a few books, mostly fiction, and then usually yeah. one nonfiction book right. that we recommend that we'll put on the blog on the website.
Totally. So
read along with us
yes.
for
pray
this
fast,
season.
Give,
pray fast,
find
give.
A prayer partner and take something away from them.
Yeah, find someone to take some shit away from.
You'll be mad, but you'll still be friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So join us for the next 46 days.
46 days.
46 goddamn days.
It could have been 40 hours, you guys.
I know. But
fucking Rufinus.
There will be no tomatoes, no nuts.
No peanut butter.
Of reading.
No pizza.
No peanut butter. No pizza. Well, you can have pizza. You just need some white sauce.
It doesn't count.
Gotta smother that shit
anyway.
In white sauce.
Whatever. Keep going.
And there will be some fasting and
salsas.
Certainly lots of prayer. And then yes. maybe some almsgiving if we're feeling generous.
We'll try.
Over the next few days.
We'll try.
And we're glad you're along with us.
Yep.
And we look forward to seeing you next time that we are recording. Feel free to email us. Let us know what you want to hear about during Lent time.
Yeah.
We are
let us know what you're giving up or taking away.
Yeah. Hit us up at ChurchDrunkPod on Twitter. And we'll be back next week with more insights here at Church Drunk, where
the drinks are lavender.
The drinks are lavender.
The pizza is white.
Pizza is white.
Trail mix
is
nutless.
Just fucking raisins.